There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
Right now on NFL Live, Steelers quarterback Ben Roethlisberger out for the season. Details on what to expect next from a Steelers squad trying to find their way. The news just slightly better for the Saints. Drew Brees will reportedly need surgery on his right thumb. The Saints quarterback expected to miss at least 6 weeks regardless. And Giants head coach Pat Shurmur would not fully commit to Eli Manning as the starter for this week's game at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Giants off to an 0-2 start, and already the questions about a quarterback change. It is a busy Monday, to say the least. I'm Wendy Nix, Chris Mortensen, Ryan Clark, Tim Hasselbeck. We will start with the news out of Pittsburgh, since the Steelers have lost their franchise quarterback for the remainder of the season. As expected, after last night's game, Ben Roethlisberger banged up in the loss to the Seahawks. He had an MRI on his right elbow after that game, and it was determined by the Steelers medical team that surgery is necessary. It will likely be sooner rather than later. That surgery is scheduled for sometime this week. In all probability, Roethlisberger will end up on IR and is out for the season. This, by the way, confirmed by Mike Tomlin and the Pittsburgh Steelers. And so with that, we'll say this on Overreaction Monday. The Steelers will miss the playoffs. Tim Hasselbeck, overreaction or no?
I'm going to say not an overreaction. You know, Ben Roethlisberger is coming off his best year statistically. There's a lot of talent that left that locker room between Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown. I think they were going to need Ben to elevate the play of everybody else in that locker room, at least until some of those guys started to understand kind of what the standard was there in Pittsburgh and what the expectations are. And so because of that and because of the 0-2 start, I don't think it's an overreaction.
It's tough sledding when you start 0-2 and then, by the way, go forward without your quarterback.
Yeah, this is not an overreaction, and I honestly agree with what Tim has said, but also this team just doesn't look good. It didn't look good last week against the New England Patriots or in the first quarter when they had Ben Roethlisberger this last weekend against the Seattle Seahawks. They don't look good on defense. They're not technically sound. They're not tackling. Other than T.J. Watt, you don't see the energy needed to be a playoff team. And then also, if you look at this offense, right, Juju Smith-Schuster finally getting an opportunity to be number one, and he's seeing the number one type of attention, and he's not showing up. James Conner with the knee injury. There's just so much going on with this team right now. They're just not a very good football team, and it was actually crazy that once Mason Rudolph became the quarterback after Ben's injury, we saw some energy. We saw some excitement. We saw a little spark, and I think that's good.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I see that, though, happen with teams where the guy comes off the bench. Mm-hmm. Timmy's come on, baby. We say, wow. However, so let's wait and see. But it's not an overreaction. I mean, it is Ben Roethlisberger, but as RC pointed out, against the Patriots, and they may be so good on defense that we have to throw that one out, but we do absolutely take note of Antonio Brown's absence in that offense. We've seen it. James Conner, as you mentioned, has a knee injury. We're waiting for that result. And then their defense isn't quite as good or stout. And we forget that Mike Munchak, the great offensive line coach, leaving, and he was also the run game coordinator, leaving for Denver was another setback, and I don't see them getting into the playoff race.
I would agree with Ryan. They just didn't look like a complete team with their quarterback, which, of course, means more problems when you lose him. Jeremy Fowler covers the Steelers. He joins us now. And Jeremy, it's a next man up kind of business, but what's been the reaction, at least initially, inside that locker room to Ben's injury?
Well, it was a pretty somber locker room, Wendy. I just left there a few minutes ago. Wide receiver Ryan Switzer said that Roethlisberger is their unquestioned leader, and so there's a clear void that they have to try to fill as an entire offense with Mason Rudolph. Now, I'm told that this injury is very serious. It's likely not career-threatening, and then there's a chance that Roethlisberger can go through rigorous rehab and work his way back, but the exact nature of the injury is still unclear. Even the higher-ups with the Steelers, some don't even know what the injury is exactly. They're still trying to piece all this together and process things. Roethlisberger did walk into the building today around 2 p.m. He was not in the open locker room when we were there, but teammates are going to be with him. And defensive end Cam Hayward said that Big Ben's going to be at this season in all the meetings throughout to help them try to push for the playoffs as sort of a de facto assistant coach.
Which we just talked about, because clearly playoffs and making the postseason is the goal here. Tell me about Mason Rudolph and the expectations in Pittsburgh right now for the next man up, which is Rudolph.
Well, Wendy, it's funny. Reporters approached Mason Rudolph at his locker, and as they did so, slot cornerback Mike Hilton walked by and said, "Mason, tell him you're built for this expletive," saying you're built for this and this big moment. And so I went over to Hilton and said, "So do you really believe that?" And he said, "Mason, tell him I said that you're built for this S word." And so he went from there. They're trying to instill confidence into a guy that they really like, to be honest. They were impressed with how he played with poise yesterday, making good decisions, and they believe that he's really well organized. One player told me that he prepares like a madman behind the scenes. He's always the guy with the helmet on, even when he's like a third stringer, not going in on the play. He's just kind of that over-eager student. And so that's rubbed a lot of guys here the right way. They want to see what he can do. And so Cam Hayward said, look, the defense has to help pick up two and alleviate things for him. He does not by any means have to play perfect for us. He just has to play winning football. But, Wendy, when I spoke to Mason at his locker, once the crowd dissipated, asked him a little bit about how far he had come in the last year and a half, and he said, "I've worked all my life for this. That's why I'll be prepared for this moment."
Thank you so much, Jeremy. Listen, I'm not going to lie, it's Monday, but I really won't have a better part of my day than him trying to get around the S word there. Which yeah. is expletive. So, all right, let's start here. Is Mason Rudolph built for this S word?
Mm-hmm. I do.
What is ish?
Ish.
I do. Listen, Oklahoma State, the one thing he did, he could throw the ball downfield. The vertical passing game was good for him. A lot of people thought he had a learning curve, which he would in that offense there, but he was very productive. There's no question about it. He's a great kid. I will say this, that there were a lot of people who had doubts, and that's why he was a third rounder. But listen, this is a process for him. We've seen many quarterbacks who weren't first or second rounders who had success in this league. He can throw the ball downfield, but they're not going to the playoffs with him, in my opinion.
Yeah, I don't believe they'll go to the playoffs with him either. And you talked about the downfield passing. That was what we saw in the preseason, especially when it came to James Washington, a guy he was very comfortable with from Oklahoma State. And we're speaking of third rounders. He actually played probably one of the more famous third round quarterbacks in Russell Wilson this weekend. And so it's not that he can't grow into a very good starting quarterback. You heard a lot from Kevin Colbert and different people that drafted him out of Oklahoma State. They felt that he did have the stuff to become a good quality starting quarterback in the NFL. But it's about this year. It's about this team as constructed with Mason Rudolph. And they don't have enough talent around him. They're not good enough on defense. And if you're going to tailor something to him, it's going to be totally different than what it was for Ben Roethlisberger. And so that's on Mike Tomlin, offensive coordinator Randy Fichter, to figure out a way to protect him, but also allow him to progress and be successful. And that's extremely hard when you're already 0-2.
I'll just jump in a couple things on here. One, Ben criticized the drafting of Mason Rudolph.
Yes, he did. Remember that?
Because he is now going to start, whatever it is, 15 games, 14 games, right? They play two.
He's start definitely Joe Flacco did.
Okay.
So indeed, he did. So is that a verb now?
I agree with Kevin Colbert. I thought that he was good enough to be a first rounder. I thought Mason Rudolph was a really good prospect coming out. And it may not all happen right away, but Ben is 37 years old.
Yeah.
And we don't know what type of elbow surgery he's headed for, but depending on what it is, Mason Rudolph may now be the starting quarterback, not just for this season, but going forward for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And so it kind of, for him, starts right now.
Well, I would agree. When you look at all of the facts or the situation in its entirety, it's only fair to think that's a possibility. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just the situation that we're in. Another quarterback and another injury, Saints quarterback Drew Brees also banged up over the weekend. He is expected, although not fully confirmed, to undergo thumb surgery, although some say it could be as early as today. Either way, he's out for the foreseeable future with the surgery. It would seem he's out at least 6 weeks.
Yeah, look, they're still in the midst of evaluating it. He's had one opinion, having a second opinion, and as soon as we know something that we can confirm, then we'll report it. But right now, that's kind of, you know, the stage we're in.
Well, there's no question Breeze is a huge loss, but if you believe ESPN's Football Power Index, all hope is not lost for New Orleans. The Saints are favored to win four of their next six, even with Teddy Bridgewater at the helm. The Saints then have their bye in week 10, after which you would hope Breeze could be back in the lineup. So again, overreaction Monday. The Saints could still win their division, Mort. Is that an overreaction?
It is not an overreaction. They got a good football team. I mean, you know, listen, they have a hole or two on defense. There's no question about that. But that's a good offensive line. They have Alvin Kamara and Latavius Murray at running back. They've got Michael Thomas at receiver. And they have Sean Payton as an offensive coordinator. And he's going to get creative here. I know that, you know, yesterday it was Teddy Bridgewater. They have Taysom Hill there. And I think you're going to see some very creative football by the Saints with Sean Payton. It's not Drew Brees, but I think they're going to still be in it.
Yeah, this is not an overreaction. This isn't a team that you look at and say that they're dead, especially when it comes to their division. Now, if they play to some different divisions in the NFL, you might see it a little bit differently. Cam Newton doesn't.
New on NFL Live, ESPN Dolphins reporter Cameron Wolf reporting that Brian Flores, the head coach, says, drumroll please, Ryan Fitzpatrick is his starting quarterback. But after a couple of weeks like that, we're evaluating all positions. We haven't made any final decisions yet. That's a lot of evaluating in Miami. Meanwhile, Ben Roethlisberger had an MRI on his right elbow. He had it last night after his team's loss to the Seahawks. It was determined at that point that surgery will be required. The surgery likely scheduled for this week. Here's Mason Rudolph.
Yeah, I'm excited to step up, and that's what backups do. That's what I've done my entire career, whether it be, you know, high school, college, or now, and nothing different for me. So I'm just going to be the same person I am, continue to prepare. I told you guys I try to prepare like I'm the starter when I'm not, and I'm going to continue to go through my same weekly routine and you know, put a good game.
Well, Mike Tannenbaum joins us now, and Mike, it's a perfect day for you because you've been in those front offices. You've gotten that phone call. Okay, here we go. We got a backup quarterback or maybe some decisions to make. What's today like when you lose your quarterback?
Well, those situations are a little bit different to me because if you look at the New Orleans Saints, they're really well positioned with both Taysom Hill and Teddy Bridgewater. Both guys could go in there, run the offense, and I wouldn't be surprised if they played both during the course of the games. Just from a standpoint, it puts a lot of pressure on the opposing defense in terms of game planning for them. As it relates to Pittsburgh, they do like Mason Rudolph. He is big. He is strong. He can make all the throws. But they may be looking as well. They lost Josh Dobbs. They have Dalvin Hodges on their practice squad. But they may look for other options. And to me, Wendy, this is also an opportunity for the Pittsburgh Steelers. They have the 2019 season to evaluate Mason Rudolph. Is he the quarterback of the future? Ben has a couple years left. They just extended him. But this really could impact what they do in terms of the draft next year.
You know, you mentioned Dalvin Hodges. He was the buzz of training camp. He was this, basically a camp arm out of Samford University in Birmingham, Alabama. Set a lot of records there. But as camp went along, he was getting more and more reps, and they like him. So,
you gotta taper that like with expectation.
No, what I'm saying is that it's just like Gardner Minshew, a sixth-round pick, mm-hmm. was good enough to be the backup quarterback to Nick Foles. They may have Hodges on this roster. And then, yeah, look around, but I don't think they're going with Mason Rudolph.
No, I think
there's
they should definitely go with Mason Rudolph. And like Mike is saying, you want to see where Mason Rudolph stands as far as your future plans are concerned. And you look at a lot of situations like this and this young quarterback room, which it will be now without Ben Roethlisberger. If it's not even to have a veteran presence in there to know that you can have a guy you go to as a backup, Mason Rudolph is still learning. And it's a difference between preparing every week like you're the starting quarterback and actually preparing to be the starting quarterback and understanding that teams will also be preparing for you that way. So having a veteran presence, a veteran mind in the room could be helpful as well.
Listen, I think it's critical. I mean, when you have a young guy play, especially when he's coming in for a guy that's been a superstar, it's important to have that superstar's support.
Mm-hmm.
It just is. It's why quarterback rooms matter. It's why when you're building a quarterback room, it wasn't always just about, okay, hey, how much talent can we put in the room? It should never be about that. It's about how those guys get along. And I referenced earlier about, you know, Ben's comments of really not being happy with the pick of Mason Rudolph. And so you just wonder, and I don't know, and you may be able to speak to it better than any of us, Ryan, but what is that going to be? I know what Drew Brees is going to do.
Right.
Yeah, I don't think anybody doubts that.
With Teddy and Taysom, and I know how he'll be. Now, he's going to come back this season.
No, listen, like talking to people there, Ben has actively worked on leadership. He's actively worked on a relationship. And I think this could be another step in that and saying, okay, with me being out and Mason Rudolph now being the quarterback, this not only will help the Pittsburgh Steelers, but from a perception standpoint of who Ben is as a leader and a man, this is another opportunity to erase some of the doubts or some of the rumors we've heard outside of the building.
Jeremy Fowler, actually, I think, didn't he just report that Ben planned to be there for Mason? And I think Ben got over that draft pick eventually. Mm-hmm. Listen, I've heard a lot of starting quarterbacks who are in this prime, so-called prime, or at the backside of the prime of the career, when they see a team use a second or third round pick on a quarterback, they're thinking, that could be another receiver or a tight end or something that I could have used.
Or it could be my replacement.
I think if there was a replacement, they'd draft him in the first round.
But you saw it with long-term. You saw with Jimmy Garoppolo as a second round pick. Brady wasn't happy about it, and he's no longer there. You know, Mason was a fairly high pick, and Ben wasn't happy.
Third round draft.
Yeah, and I think the other part outside of Mason being a third round pick was some of the fanfare he came along with. Yeah, it's one thing that they drafted him in the third round because he was there, but it's another thing that when he's being spoken of, it's, oh, this guy has first round talent. This guy has the talent to be a starter. Because now you hear that more so than a draft slot. Mm-hmm.
You know, this is an unbelievable opportunity for Mike Tomlin, one of the best head coaches in the league. They've never had a losing record with Mike Tomlin as the head coach. But if you go back since 2014, Antonio Brown leads the league in receptions for touchdowns. Le'Veon Bell leads the league in scrimmage yards. And Ben Roethlisberger averages 299 yards of throwing per game. If Mike Tomlin can take this team to 8-8 or even the playoffs, it'll show what a great coach he is.
Despite all those great numbers by great players, it never went to a Super Bowl with that group you just mentioned.
But they're consistent.
Here's the tough part about the Super Bowl and the AFC. When you say there's a team that was constructed a certain way that never went to a Super Bowl, you should just name the one team that did all the time. Because it's not necessarily like we were alternating Super Bowls and everybody gets to go. It's a fair chance. We all have equal opportunity to get to the Super Bowl in the AFC. That's not how it works. Right? Just for the last 20 years, you've either been Peyton Manning, you've been Ben Roethlisberger, or you've been Joe Flacco one time. Other than that, gets to go in the AFC. And that's just a
difficult metric. I don't know who you could
be
referring to, Ryan.
You're referring to
the other dude. That's going to go again.
That was so much talent on one team, though. It's a team that did not get to the Super Bowl.
We did, Mort. Twice.
All right, look, but it's also, I'll say this, and we'll talk about Drew Brees, but you talk about the opportunity for Mike Tomlin. It is also an opportunity for Ben Roethlisberger, to your point, to sort of change the rhetoric and the narrative, because it's one thing to say right now that he's going to be in there every day.
Right.
Yeah, talk to me in 4 or 5 weeks when it's getting pretty frustrating. See where we are.
If he wins, by the way.
There you go. Exactly. All right. The other top story today, also involving a starting quarterback. Although Drew Brees won't miss the entirety of the season, or at least that's the expectation, he is planning to undergo thumb surgery. Some had said as early as today, but likely in the next few days. He's out probably a minimum of 6 weeks. Again, it's a thumb on his throwing hand. And I think, Mort, correct me if I'm wrong, pretty much knew last night where they were headed in this situation.
No, the Saints largely believed, even before he had an MRI or scan, he had torn ligaments in that thumb, which means surgery. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, he stayed over in L.A. while the team went back. We presumed to see Dr. Steve Shin, who's a renowned hand specialist, who's done work on Mike Trout and Chris Paul, famous pro athletes. But he wants to get a second opinion, Drew does. And so that's what he's getting, that second opinion. But the expectation is about 6 weeks, which covers 6 games before their bye week. And then After the bye week, week 11, they play the Falcons at home. So that's the goal, but we've got to wait and see what the surgery is going to bring.
How about this? During that six-week period, they only have one division game, so they could really hang in there. And if they get Drew Brees back coming down the stretch run, they could still win the division. But I think moving forward, what I think is really interesting is in that quarterback room, Taysom Hill, Teddy Bridgewater, and Drew Brees, none of them have a contract in 2020. So it'll be interesting. Is Drew Brees still going to be their quarterback? He's obviously close to the end. Does Teddy Bridgewater emerge as another high-level starter? And they love Taysom Hill, who will be a restricted free agent at the end of the year. So if I'm the Saints, not only do I feel like I can still win this year, but it's a great opportunity to evaluate what I have in all three quarterbacks.
It's like you watched Overreaction Monday, Mike. That's what we started with. Saints can still win the division. Mike says not an overreaction. So there you go. And also, to this guy, each week the NFL teams will select a high school football coach of the week, and ESPN will honor the Monday Night Football home team's coach. And this week, the coach of the week, Bill Fitzgerald from Seton Hall Prep School in West Orange, New Jersey. The Don Shula High School Coach of the Year Award will be announced at the Pro Bowl, Ryan Clark, in January. Well, here we go again. The Patriots rolled to their second straight win on Sunday, blanking the Dolphins 43-0. How about this? New England has outscored its opponents 76-3. This season. Oh, by the way, that's two games. Tom Brady addressed the possibility of going 16-0 on WEEI this morning.
No, and I'll tell you why, because that's, I think if you look at our team over a long time, I think to think about something that's going to happen 2 weeks from now or 3 weeks from now or 5 weeks from now is irrelevant. I think what you try to do is you think about the process, and the results are what they are. And then we go out there and we play. And if we win, we win. Great. We're going to get back to it. And if we lose, we evaluate what we need to do better, and then we get back to our process. I'm not thinking about anything more than 3-0, because that's the only thing that matters. That's what we got this week. There's big challenges ahead. And to take your eye off what's really important is the disservice to the team. And, we're not doing that.
All right, listen, I'm not going to be the one to question Tom Brady's process, or the Patriots for that matter, because it is certainly one with a long track record of success. But here's what we do. We overreact on Mondays, and that's what we'll do. So I'll say this on Overreaction Monday, Ryan Clark. The Patriots will go 16-0.
That's an overreaction. And obviously you're going to get, you hate the Patriots because they beat you all the time. You play for the Steelers and all that.
That's right.
But
reading my mind.
It's so hard to win every football game. It's a reason that Mercury Morris has gotten the opportunity to pop the champagne so many times before the Patriots finally went 16-0 in 2007. It's hard to do. And this team is extremely good. And this team will have an opportunity to be in the AFC Championship, the Super Bowl. But there has to be so much focus each and every week on every opponent. You can't make certain mistakes. Turning the ball over is big. And you go back last year, Tom Brady and this team, they weren't good on the road. And so you're going to have some games where it's going to come down to one play and tight possessions in the fourth quarter. And there's going to be a team that make a play. To me, the best football team I've ever seen was the 1985 Chicago Bears. And I remember watching in primetime against Dan Marino and the Miami Dolphins, who weren't as good a team as they were. Watch them beat the Chicago Bears. So it's possible to happen on any given night in NFL, and I just think this team loses one somewhere along the way.
You can be the better team and slip up on a given Sunday.
It's true. It is true. And they might not go undefeated, but I don't think it's an overreaction. They are so good defensively. I think we've had a stretch here where they've just been okay on defense, but we still end up in the Super Bowl. They're really good on defense. We know they have a really good quarterback. Honestly, they are so spoiled with the weapons they have at wide receiver that, 2 weeks ago, we're like, what are they going to do without Gronk? And we're kind of like, they're good. They're okay. They figured it out. Okay, they already got that squared away. You look at the division. Miami's terrible. The Jets quarterback has mono.
And don't sleep on those 2-0 Bills, Timothy.
And I'm not sleeping on the 2-0 Bills, but I'm not so sure.
You're not awake on these.
They're not ready yet.
I know.
They're ready to dethrone them.
Something.
So you just think about it. In your division, you're not in the most competitive division in the NFL, let's just put it that way. And so when you look at that fair amount of layups.
It's not an overreaction. They only gave up a field goal their first two games. I realize Dolphins, Steelers, and you're not high on the Steelers anymore. You left them behind.
That's right.
Deserted them.
Because I'm that guy.
Can't go back to Pittsburgh either.
Let's go back to the Super Bowl. How many points did the Rams score in that game?
Three.
Not many.
Okay, Teddy Bruschi, and I said this yesterday in our viewing room. I said, I've had a lot of people who kind of know, say this is the best defense they've had since the early 2000s when they were nurturing Tom Brady into greatness. Their defense and running game, that's what they've done now. This is the best defense they've had. They've won Super Bowls without Gronk when he was gone and mm-hmm. Edelman when he was gone. We've seen the offense morph into this power running game if they need to. Mm-hmm. And Tom, you keep him clean. We can't predict injuries, but if they remain without major injuries to a guy like Tom Brady, then I think, I think it's possible.
And speaking defensively, just going to the secondary, I think it goes overlooked how good Stephon Gilmore is.
Yes.
They've had Darrell Revis. You've seen Ty Law under Bill Belichick. I believe this is the best man corner they have ever had. And when you give Bill Belichick a chess piece like that, you see the other things move around it. And, like, they're the only team that gets rid of Jamie Collins and then he comes back.
Are you changing your opinion?
No. Because 15-1 is still really good.
I got you.
But I'm just saying, like, we're just talking about this team. They are stacked in a way that I think we have never even seen the New England Patriots.
Well, what's crazy, here we go again. It's, you win the Super Bowl and what do? You come back and they might be a better team than they were last year, which is scary. All right, so that's the Patriots. And then there's the Giants. Here is head coach Pat Shurmur earlier today.
You said you're looking at all things moving forward. Does that include the starting quarterback for Sunday's game?
I think we're going to – and we always do that, and obviously Eli's been our starter to this point. And, I'm not really ready to get into any of those conversations about any position.
Eli, your starting quarterback this week?
He's been our starter to this point, and I don't want to talk about anything else moving forward from that standpoint. Not ready to discuss that.
So that, that's going to leave it open for debate.
I understand that, right? I do.
Eli, Pat Shurmur left open the possibility of you not being the starting quarterback on Sunday. How do you react to that?
Oh, well, just hey, I gotta get ready to play a game and nothing changes and get ready for Tampa and figure out a way to get a win.
Are you surprised these conversations are happening so early in the season?
Hey, we're 0-2, and you're looking for answers. So, I get it. When you draft a guy early and you're not winning games, these are going to come up. So, I just got to keep working and do whatever my job is.
Well, look, we said from the get-go that starting fast, 2-0 start, we wouldn't be having these discussions. That's not where this team is. Overreaction Monday, time for Daniel Jones to start for the Giants. Mort, is that an overreaction or no?
I'm going to say it's an overreaction. Even though Pat Shurmur said at the end of preseason, Daniel Jones is ready to open the season. He didn't say as a starter, but that means he thinks he's ready to play if he has to play him. They had no Sterling Shepard yesterday. Golden Tate's still out on suspension. Cody Latimer, the other receiver, got hurt yesterday. I wouldn't throw Daniel Jones in that situation. If Eli Manning gets benched, it's not going to be because of his play. It's going to be because they're not very good.
No, they stink.
Their defense is awful. And so it's not going to be Eli's performance that gets him benched. It will be the defense. But do you want to throw Daniel Jones into this situation until you get those guys on board?
Yeah, listen, it's not an overreaction for me. And I was one of the dumb people that say they should just start him at the beginning of the season because I knew this is what the team was going to look like. And a lot of times when you have these bridge quarterbacks, it's because you feel like you can at least field a competitive team. Mm-hmm. And this bridge quarterback or this veteran gives you the best chance to compete. But I've seen this from the beginning. This is the setup. This has been getting set up since the preseason. Daniel Jones in with the starting offensive line against backup defenders. So you build this huge uproar, or you build this huge momentum for him being this great pick, this great quarterback. Oh, we knew he was going to be this good when we drafted him sixth. And now when Eli starts to falter, because you built a team that stinks, people are going to start calling for him. So they're just waiting long enough until they feel like, you know what, Eli has proven beyond a shadow of a doubt that it's time to move on from a Manning and we can do it and the Mariners won't be upset and New York won't be riot because we now know that Eli has died as the quarterback of the NFL.
To be clear, you feel like there's some personnel issues. Just to be
honest.
What did you say?
It's not an overreaction because I agree with what you said, and I understand what you're saying, Mort, about, playing Daniel Jones. There just comes a point now where, this also isn't good for Eli.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that just even watching him in the interview, I think he would almost admit that. It's like, if you're not being set up to succeed at quarterback,
I've seen other guys be like, hey, listen, they don't think I'm playing well, but the other guy.
You know what? Here's an idea. Yeah, especially to your point, Mort, without Golden Tate, who's got two more games on that suspension with some injuries. There's a lot of questions on that team. A lot fewer answers, I'm afraid. Mortensen now in the Domino's pregame HQ, the latest Mort report. Let's start with Melvin Gordon. This continues to drag on, Mort.
Yeah, it's a holdout, and he plans to report before he has to get year's credit of service in order to become a free agent next year or possibly become a free agent. The Chargers gave their $10 million offer, tried to close it with some incentives, gave him a chance to kind of shop himself for a trade. That didn't work out. In the meantime, he is actually working out in San Diego, and he's working out with DJ Durkin, a renowned trainer. Working out with him, by the way, is Golden Tate during his suspension with the Giants. And Luis Perez, a quarterback who was a free agent quarterback, played in the Alliance Football League. So Melvin Gordon is there. Justin Jackson and Austin Eckler are doing a good job. Anthony Lynn, former running back, head coach of the Chargers. He's not going to sit there and get on his knees and beg him to come back. But he'll be back at some point, but it doesn't appear to be anytime soon.
Not right now. Probably not in September. Ben Roethlisberger won't be back this season. At least that's the expectation. So we know that, our top story this afternoon. But James Conner a little bit banged up, too, and some questions about his knee.
Yeah, lost in the Ben news is the fact that James Conner left yesterday with a knee injury, and we didn't know the significance of it. Now Jeremy Fowler now reports that many of Conner's teammates say they do not believe Conner's injury is serious. And so with that gauge, you know, don't know whether he's actually going to be able to play this week. Maybe anticipate that he won't, but in terms of having a major season-ending injury, does not appear to be that way.
That is good news, because the Steelers don't need another major injury on offense.
No, and he doesn't either, yeah.
No, and he doesn't either, of course not. A former Steeler Antonio Brown made his Patriots debut early and often, I might add. This as the NFL really got its investigation underway.
Yeah, today the NFL investigators, led by Lisa Friel, who leads that assault unit that the NFL has formed, is meeting with Brittany Taylor, who has accused Antonio Brown of sexual assault. And we know it's a civil complaint. And so this meeting is critical to see what the NFL does next, because what they get out of this meeting, including with whatever evidence she has via whether text, emails, or anything else, will determine their course of action in terms of how deep they go into this investigation. So we haven't heard anything yet, but we do know that Jeff Darlington reported yesterday that there was a settlement for more than $2 million on the table up until Sunday before the season started. And Antonio Brown declined to sign it. And there's been no criminal action on this one.
That's right. No, this is a civil suit, which is an important distinction. You look forward to hearing from Big Poppy, but first, more overreaction Monday. Listen, he was among the more polarizing players, much less quarterbacks, in the draft when he heading into 2018. But let's just start right here, because he's shown drastic improvement in year two. Lamar Jackson is the best quarterback from the class of 2018. Tim, overreaction?
Well, listen, it's not an overreaction right now. Right now, like, no, this is not an overreaction. He's been absolutely amazing. He has dominated the NFL through the first 2 weeks of the season. Yeah. And the guy that people would say, okay, hey, this guy is better, would be Baker Mayfield. And he was terrible week one. So, I mean, so we sit right now and we look at what the Ravens have put around him and how they have designed that offense. He looks great. Now, he's not a huge guy. And so sustaining, you know, I think he had 16 carries or more this past weekend. I would get nervous about that if I'm thinking about him as, hey, for the next decade, is he going to be the best quarterback? But, I mean, he's looks impossible to defend right now.
Wow. So this is an
overreaction for me, but not in a negative way. I'm not going to sit here and say that Lamar Jackson hasn't just been stellar through 2 weeks of this season. He's been absolutely amazing. And when you're looking at quarterbacks and thinking about who could be in the MVP race, if we were going to do a way too early MVP race.
Way too
which
early.
We're not about. Which we're not about.
Yeah. Lamar Jackson is squarely in it with the guy he's playing against this week in Patrick Mahomes. And so I still think you have to look at the total body of work and what Baker Mayfield was able to accomplish last year as a passer, as a leader, as a quarterback of the Cleveland Browns. But moving forward, Lamar Jackson, who has the best total skill set immeasurables of all of these guys can absolutely end up being the best quarterback of that class if he continues to progress as a passer.
It's an overreaction, but I agree, in a good way. I said last year before the 2018 NFL draft, that all five of those quarterbacks, Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, Josh Allen, Josh Rosen, and Lamar Jackson, everybody thinks there's going to be two or three busts from them. I thought all five had a chance to be successful. And right now, Allen and Jackson have the highest ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they may have a little bit of a lowest floor, but you got to love what Greg Roman and the personnel, the offensive coordinator in Baltimore, is doing with Lamar Jackson at this moment. But I think we still have a long ways to go to see who's the best, and that's a good thing. Yeah. That's not a bad thing. You do feel badly for Josh Rosen at this standpoint.
I think the biggest thing that stood out to me yesterday wasn't necessarily the numbers of Lamar Jackson. It was Greg Roman being willing to call a deep pass to, like you said earlier, a tiny receiver down the field in that situation.
Third and 11. Yeah. 3rd and 11, got to have it situation. Mm-hmm. And they, you know, there are plenty of teams that are like, oh, we trust our defense.
Right.
We're going to run the ball. And
that's a good defense.
They didn't do that with him, and he threw a perfect ball. Yeah.
They're having fun.
And rewarded him for the decision. I don't have one for Patrick Mahomes. Like,
you don't have an overreaction?
I don't know what would be an overreaction.
Kind of your job to come up
well,
with.
Well, no, here's
you
why.
You
no.
run the show.
Well, no, but listen to me. Here's what I'm going to do then. See what I did here? Give me a statement that would be an overreaction.
Ooh. All right, Ryan.
I'll go first.
Know.
And this will,
Best
I think this would
time,
be,
the,
here you go, debatable.
Okay.
Patrick Mahomes is the greatest player we've ever seen right now at this moment. And so
we don't need any more time.
So we don't need any more time.
Right. I like that.
It doesn't matter that we have a quarterback that's won 6 Super Bowls. It doesn't matter that Peyton Manning's played, Brett Favre has played,
Aaron Rodgers.
None of these
people. I get to answer
people,
now.
None of these people that – Patrick Mahomes is right now the greatest, not quarterback, the greatest NFL player we've ever seen.
I'll say overreaction, but I got to say.
But you know what? Yours is better than mine because, like, he threw 50 touchdowns last year on pace for 56 right now. Like, you're kind of like, I mean, it's been really good. Mine's not nearly as good. Mine is like Patrick Mahomes is not as good.
You can't even get it out. So right now, it's terrible.
We should be the first active player that is in the Hall of Fame. Just like, he shouldn't have to wait 5 years.
It's actually really good, though.
Just go right in.
Undersold.
Like Trey always says, like, hey, Hall of Famer Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
Like,
undersold, over-delivered on that one.
Not even
today.
Yeah, it was good.
Let's just go ahead and do it.
He just set the bar low so he'd be impressed.
My overreaction is this, because the money is going to skyrocket in this league over the next 10-15 years. But it will be an overreaction to say that Patrick Mahomes will make $1 billion in salary before he's done playing. I think he'll make $800 million in salary before he's done playing. And Mike Tannenbaum says with off-field endorsements, he thinks that...
Here's what's crazy, though.
Like,
I was starting to do the numbers in my head and look at where football is going and where it's going for that position, depending on these next CBA negotiations and what happens with TV contract and different things. This is a possibility because he's going to be the highest paid quarterback for probably the next decade or so anytime he re-ups.
But then you also think about the way the rules have changed to protect the position.
Yes. Sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden it's why you see guys playing close to 40. I mean,
40.
We have way too many quarterbacks playing close to 40 or beyond 40.
We've never seen it like this.
You're jealous.
Yeah, but I'm not jealous. I
can't even go upstairs at 40.
I do think his salary is going to be way up there. It won't reach a billion, but as Tannenbaum said, you count his off-field endorsements. If he continues it,
it may reach $750 million. Poor me.
It underscores the point, though, that you have to struggle to find an overstatement about this kid because he has been so phenomenal to watch, and he can do things that we haven't seen people be able to do with the football. Here's the other good news. I'm done. Like, you guys can do this every week. Yours were better.
Oh, yeah, you don't have to.
Yeah, no. You,
well, listen, I'll we were so pissed about Aaron we don't Rodgers actually, 5 years ago and Brett Favre.
When you look at Aaron Rodgers, I believe, you know, if you take away maybe not necessarily the championships, we may have thought he would win with that talent. Aaron Rodgers was like that. When I got to play against Aaron Rodgers,
Brett
it was
Favre
different.
Was like that
it was different than playing other quarterbacks.
Yeah.
All right. We'll see. All right. Fair enough. But we're not done. One game to go tonight at the Meadowlands. Before we pick it, Mort, tell us something we don't know.
And something you don't know, which you should watch out for. Greg Williams, defensive coordinator of the Jets, and the first hit on Odell Beckham Jr.
With understandably why. Soap opera continues. Ryan Clark, pick this one.
I'm going with the Cleveland Browns on the road for the win, 27-17.
You know what? I like the Browns on this one as well. I got them 20-10.
A little bit lower scoring
now. A little less scoring.
How many games have we picked? We got like four. We did Thursday. How many I've gotten wrong is my point.
Oh, okay. So, go the other way then.
But by the way, you guys have almost agreed with me every time, which means you've been wrong too. I agree, and I've got the Browns 24-13.
By the way, I was perfect.
You were perfect.
I was 2-for-2 because I picked
last
the Raiders.
Last week? Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Yeah. Right, fair enough. Bam. Listen, either way, it ought to be a good game. The Jets don't have Sam Darnold. They got Le'Veon Bell. Perhaps you've heard of him. OBJ back at the Meadowlands. Hannah Storm, Keith Olbermann, take it away now. SportsCenter, 4 o'clock. Be soon.